Friends, after discussion on the pre-shipment finance as an export credit, we are now moving towards another mega chapter, that is post-shipment finance, which covers the almost the whole gamut of the export credit, right? Our idea to segregate this chapter is to focus on the pre-shipment understanding and post-shipment understanding. There is a line of demarcation. Certain things are to be complied at the pre-export stage and certain things are to be complied after the shipment is made, that is post-shipment stage. So the finance made available after the shipment is made, goods are sent, goods are dispatched. Then the credit requirement, how the credit will be availed by the exporter, how his day-to-day workflow or cash flow will be maintained, and what are its requirements that we are going to discuss in this chapter. So ultimately our objective of introduction, this separately this post-shipment finance, is to understand the concept, significance of the post-shipment finance, as well as to understand the liquidity provided to the exporters after the goods and services are dispatched, and to cover the period between the shipment and realization, of export proceeds. Finally, to understand and protect the exporters against the credit and payment risk associated with the international trade. There is a risk also, goods are sent. But again, payment has to be received, no. So there is a payment, great risk, that is payment risk. So what are those risks associated with the payment? That also elaborately we can discuss in this chapter. And keeping this in mind, our objective, the chapter is devised and our presentation coverage is devised in such a manner that you will be thorough in post-shipment finance also, like pre-shipment finance. First, we'll have the objective of post-shipment, then types of post-shipment finance, then source of post-shipment finance, from where the funds are coming for financing the post-shipment or export, then regulatory framework, process flow and post-shipment credit. The process flow also we have to understand. Risk and risk mitigation, role of export credit agencies, accounting and settlement of the post-shipment credit, international guidelines, and latest development as of now, whatever happened in the market, that can be updated here in this chapter also. To introduce you about the post-shipment, I can state that it is available to the various forms. It is available in various forms, such as bill discounting, negotiation under letter of credit, or advance against the bill sent out collection, and the credit against the duty drawback entitlement. What is duty drawback and all these things? So these are the things need to be understood. This facility continues until the export proceeds are realized and repatriated to India in accordance with the regulatory timelines. So the post-shipment credit, as you know, it is governed by the Reserve Bank of India under Foreign Exchange Management Act. And exporters are mandated to comply with the documentation and reporting requirement through the systems like EDPMS, that is Export Data Processing and Monitoring System. Additionally, certain compliances related to the DGFT, customs and international framework like UCP 500, UCP 600, and URC 522, which is critical for the smooth financing and the settlement. We'll discuss this in this chapter and about the detailed examination of the document types, eligibility, process flow, regulatory obligation, risk coverage, and emerging trend, etc. Now, objective of post-shipment credit. What is the objective? Why post-shipment credit is granted? Objective is, first, to ensure timely liquidity and post-shipment credit. So, provide immediate working capital after shipment, allowing the exporters to meet the operational and financial commitment without waiting for realization of the funds. Okay? Then, mitigate the exporter's credit and the payment risk. Exporter credit risk and payment risk require to be mitigated, which is covered by stipulating the credit period which is offered to the foreign buyers, particularly under deferred payment or usance bills, which enables the exporter to transfer the payment collection risk to the bank or financial institution, especially in LC-backed or ECGC-insured transactions. Third objective is to enhance the competitiveness in global market by granting the finance at reduced rate, by implicating the interest equalization scheme or interest in subvention scheme, right? Then promote the compliance with the regulatory timelines. Compliance is a heart of the foreign exchange and trade. So the exporter realize and repatriate the proceeds within the timeline given. And it has to be reported and monitored through the EDPMS, that is Export Data Process Monitoring System. Then encouraging and formalization and the better record keeping by linking the credit eligibility to shipment document and realization status. Fifth objective is support structured risk management. ECGC-backed policies, UCP 600 or URC 522, compliant trade document and secured advance mechanism are supporting the structured risk management. It helps the banks to manage their NPA, that is non-performing asset, by supporting the credit based on verifiable trade events. Sixth objective of the post-shipment finance is strengthening the banking sector role in export growth, timely and securely granting the structured post-shipment finance is very essential to the exporter so as to stand competitively in the international market. So, scheduled commercial bank, Exim banks to meet their export credit target and contribute to the national trade policy goals. Seventh objective of the post-shipment finance is to enable the access to the incentive and drawbacks. So, ties in with the post-shipment entitlement mechanism like duty drawback or RODTEP and export subsidies. These are the incentives or the schemes which are formulated by the government and implemented through the DGFT, allows the exporters to obtain the credit against the receivable from the government incentive scheme. Right? Then, types of post-shipment products. If once you understand the objective of the post-shipment, now a little bit more interior into the post-shipment finance. Now, types of post-shipment credit. What are the types of post-shipment credit? Post-shipment credit are, refer to the loan or advance provided to the exporter by bank and financial institution after goods have been dispatched or shipped or services are rendered. These credit helps to manage the liquidity until the payment is received from the foreign buyers. The funds which are granted here is nothing but it is a working capital requirement because goods are already sent. Whatever funds the exporters were having, they have utilized it. Now, what the grant for what the funds are granted by the banks and financial institution is to mitigate the gap till the actual realization of those goods which are dispatched has been received by the exporter. Therefore, stakeholders like FEMA, DGFT, ECGC, they recognize the several forms of the post-shipment finance. The major type of post-shipment finance consists of 1. Export bill purchase discount. Now, export bill purchase and discount basis. Now, one thing you have to remember here, that when you call it as export bill purchased, that means you should always keep in mind that the documents are drawn at site. Documents are drawn at site. And when you say it is discounted, that means the documents are always drawn at usance. That means in the document, there is one document which is called bill of exchange. If this bill of exchange doesn't bear any period, then you can say that this is purchase document. And if you see, say 90 days after the receipt of the document, or 20 days, or 120 days after receipt of the document, you may pay, like that these wordings are there, that is tenor is mentioned, then in that case you can say that this document needs to be discounted. So this is the basic difference between DA and DP basis. Okay. Now these DA or DA bills or DP bills are sold to the bank, and bank purchases are discounted before its realization. Before its realization. And when the exporter receives the immediate funds against the export bills, which the bank collect from the foreign buyers on maturity and used for open account or collection basis to the exporters. Now the risk here is, it is often supported by ECGC's insurance or for buyer's default risk. So you understood what is export bill purchase and export bill discounted. Next product is export bill negotiated. When negotiation word is ensured, you should ensure that the documents are drawn under letter of credit, that is LC, and the rules applicable to such a negotiation or negotiation by the bank is as per UCP 600. Next one is advance against collection bills. Many times it happens, the documents are sent to the bank for collection. Because there is no limit available for either purchase or discount or negotiation. Under such situation, in extreme situation, bank provides an advance against these bills under the agreed term, under the agreed terms. However, this cannot be considered as a trade finance. This will be loan against the document. This will be loan against the document sent against collection, or advance against the bill sent for collection. Okay, this is the difference. This is not considered as a trade finance. It is a loan against the document. Okay, so advance against export consignment basis. Consignment, you are aware how the consignment is happening. The goods are exported, but it is not sold. There is no definite buyer as such, but there is an agent appointed in overseas warehouse, and their goods are going, and it will be dumped over there, and the agent will take care of that. It means the ownership of the goods remain with the exporter himself until they are sold abroad. Banks provide the post-shipment credit against such a consignment based on the trust receipt or undertaking to repatriate the proceeds. Okay, monitoring and reporting under EDPMS is critical in such a cases. Right? Then advance against duty drawback receivable. RODTEP or duty drawback under customs can avail the advance against the expected refund by the government. Bank can consider that and facilitate to facility is granted to exporters in the extreme difficult situation. Export credit in foreign currency. This can be also be granted. Generally, all export bills are drawn in foreign currency. Now it is permitted to draw in Indian rupees also. But schemes like export bill rediscounting or via foreign currency credit lines from the correspondent bank, these bills are getting discounted many times. But this requires RBI's and FDI guidelines, or RBI's approval and FDI guidelines are linked to the benchmark lending rate that is called SOFR. Then advance against retention money. There is a tendency when the export bill is sent, large export value I mean to say, in that, particularly for the project exports, certain quantum of the bill is say 5% or 10% is not paid. It is retained by the buyer, subject to checking of the goods or its utilization or fitment, or it may be it's a quality purpose. They retain say 5% to 10% out of the total value of the bills, which is called as a retention, right? Now, these retention needs to be realized within 90 days period or within the maximum stipulated period for other bills also. Okay, so finance against such a retention amount will be also made in respect of the project export to the exporters. Now, post-shipment credit for deemed export. What is deemed export? Deemed export is nothing but the export or the goods in the name of export is not leaving the country. Generally, what happens? Export means goods are going out of the country. But under the deemed export, goods are not leaving the country, but it will remain in the country. Only thing is that it is supplied to the contracts under deemed export status, like supplies made to SEZ or export-oriented units or power projects or projects undertaken by the foreign agencies in India where its realization happens in foreign currency. That is called deemed export. Maximum period up to 90 days, it is permitted to grant the loan against such a shipment made under the deemed export. Now, latest development impacting the types of post shipment. Digitalization of the document, EBRC, ICEGATE integration, e-bill pilots, and transforming the dispersal and monitoring mechanism. Expansion of interest equalization scheme. It allows the concessional interest, right? Then blockchain-based trade finance. Then enhanced EDPMS tracking of the overdue bills and making the banks more selective in approving the collection-based credit. Now, source of post-shipment finance. What would be the source of post-shipment finance? The availability of the funds for granting the post-shipment finance is left to the concerned bank. They will tap various sources. Now, the first source for the post-shipment finance is scheduled commercial banks. These are the primary source of post-shipment credit in India. They provide credit in Indian rupee as well as in foreign currency, that is PSCFC, after verifying the shipment and export document. This is covered under RBI's master direction for the credit. SCB may provide export bill discounting, purchase or a negotiation. Okay? Scheduled cooperative bank, scheduled commercial banks, they provide all facilities like purchase, discount, negotiation, advance against collection win, advance against incentive under the duty drawback, or RODTEP, and bank must comply with reporting through all this through EDPMS. And maximum period which is stipulated for realization of this is 270 days or 9 months. Now, Export-Import Bank of India, Exim Bank. This is the apex export finance institution which is set up by the government in 1981. This provides the post-shipment finance in the form of overseas buyer's credit, lines of credit, direct credit to Indian exporters. Okay, this often supports long-term capital goods exports. Normal export will be taken care by scheduled commercial banks, SCBs. Okay, so collaborate with the foreign government and multilateral agencies to facilitate the long-term capital goods export. Now, foreign banks and retention and international financial institution. Foreign banks are also providing the finance for the export. Exporters may access the post-shipment finance via forfeiting, buyer's credit arrangement, receivable discounting platform, the RDPs abroad. Okay? These foreign correspondent banks negotiate or purchase or export document under confirmed letter of credit or collection. You know what is confirmed letter of credit? Confirmed letter of credit is the credit which is confirmed by adding the additional guarantee of the payment by the bank in exporter's country. And then common in exports to OECD countries and or where the structured trade arrangement exists, regulated through the cross-border trade finance compliance, SWIFT protocol and UCP 600. Fourth one is a non-banking financial company, that is NBFCs and fintech platform. NBFCs and fintech platform, they are also involved in granting the pro-shipment finance, that is a types of post-shipment, types of institution. Select RBI license NBFC factors or trade receivable discounting system, that is TREDS. Offer invoice discounting, especially for MSMEs. For MSMEs, because this platform, that is trade receivable discounting system, that is available to MSMEs, especially for MSME only. Then emerging the fintech platform are leveraging the blockchain, artificial intelligence, and LOT to underwrite the short-term export receivables. Regulated under the Reserve Bank's NBFC factor directions and guidelines on digital lending. There is a separate guideline issued by RBI for lending under post-shipment finance, for lending under post-shipment for by the non-banking financial companies. This offer faster, flexible options, but often at the higher rate of interest. Now, another institution is Export Credit Guarantee Corporation or ECGC. This is always giving a support of risk mitigation. ECGC is not a direct financier, but it offers the banks credit insurance under whole turnover post-shipment credit insurance for the bank. Credit insurance for the banks. And the specific segment shipment policies will be issued to the exporters. Okay. So, guarantees to the bank and policies to the exporter are issued by ECGC. By doing so, this ECGC encourages the banks to lend more confidently even in higher risk countries also under the open account terms, because the risk of non-payment is covered by issuing either specific shipment policy to the exporter or whole turnover post-shipment credit insurance for banks. Now, government-supported scheme. Interest equalization scheme that you have seen in the pre-shipment also, where interest subsidy by way of 3% or 2% for eligible exporters and MSME is provided. This is extended till 2026 with digital validation and DGFT portal. This export equalization scheme or interest equalization scheme is made available to the exporters and also to the eligible exporters and also to the MSME till 2026 with digital validation via DGFT portal. Now, this duty drawback export incentive is also indirectly supporting the exporters by providing post-shipment liquidity through the expected refund, that is RODT BEP and ROSC LLT. So, disbursed via Indian Customs, that is ICEGATE, and monitored by DGFT. Now, Multilateral Institutional and Developmental Finance Bank. For long-term gestation projects and infrastructure export, entities like World Bank, Asian Development Bank, African Development Bank, etc. are providing the post-shipment credit through the line of a credit mechanism. These are typically routed through the Exim Bank or a large Indian banks. There are certain developments recently happened when there was an integration of the bank system with EDPMS, ICEGATE, DGFT portals for seamless verification of the export and disbursement of the post-shipment credit. RBI pushed for export credit in foreign currency to reduce the interest burden on the exporter rather than granting in Indian rupees. Then the blockchain-based pilots for cross-border invoice financing also initiated in collaboration with the Exim Bank and select the fintech partners to provide these services, discounting services. So greater adoption of digital BRC, that is bank realization certificate, and e-negotiation modules to ease the documentation burden. Now, regulatory framework in India. The post-shipment credit in India is governed by the comprehensive and evolving regulatory ecosystem, which is aimed at facilitating timely, compliant, and the risk-mitigated financing for exporters. The framework integrates the directive from the Reserve Bank of India, policies under Foreign Exchange Management Act, risk coverage through the ECGC, and operational procedure enforced by DGFT, customs, and international guidance. There are certain structured breakdown of the regulatory framework. One is the Reserve Bank of India. What they do? They have issued the master direction for eligible instrument, limits and timelines for the post-shipment credit, which is prescribed for credit period up to 270 days from the date of shipment. That means any export that you make, normal export, the payment of realization should be realized within 270 days or 9 months. That is the maximum period stipulated for export realization. Any delay beyond that is required to apply to the authorized dealer through the Reserve Bank, to the RBI through the authorized dealer bank, and on quarterly basis, extension will be provided depending upon the case-to-case basis. Okay? Next, interest subvention circulars are issued by RBI and bank can export credit in foreign currency also. mandates the bank to report the export advance and overdue bills via EDPMS also. Now, Foreign Exchange Management Act, how it controls? FEMA. FEMA regulates foreign exchange, cross-border transaction, which includes repatriation requirement. Repatriation within 9 months period or 270 days period is done or not, that is a FEMA regulation. Then EDPMS compliant, export transaction must be matched with the shipping bill. Document submitted to the bank and appeared in the EDPMS must be matched. Any deviation from that will be taken back to the customs authority through the exporters and get it corrected. Then extension and write-off. Bank can approve the limited extension write-off under the FEMA rules and based on the exporter performance and transaction details. Now, third one is the export data processing management, that monitoring system, EDPMS. This is a centralized digital platform managed by RBI. For the purpose of monitoring the entire export life cycle, from shipment to the realization, helps the bank to track the overdue bills and restrict the further credit to the non-compliant exporters. Then auto match shipping bill data from customs, ICE gate and BRC data from banks. Then Director General of Foreign Trade, DGFT. DGFT's role is that it is administering exporter registration, that is IEC code. Then implementing the schemes such as RODTEP and ROSCTL, the interest equalization scheme, which are relevant to the post-shipment finance, and verifying the shipment details on DGFT portal, often integrated with the banks for the credit validation. Fifth agency is Customs and the Central Excise Regulations. They governs issuance of the shipping bill, drawback claims, RODTEP scripts, which are often used for securing the post-shipment credit. Monitor real-time movement of the export goods through the ICE gate or EDPMS. Then Export Credit Guarantee Corporation, ECGC. ECGC provides insurance support through by granting the guarantees to the banks and policies to the exporter directly. Then international rules and guidelines. UCP 600 governs the transactions under LC, ensuring the standardization in document examination and negotiation. Whereas URC 522 publication, Uniform Rules for Collection, this applies to the document which are sent on collection basis. Then comes to Incoterm 2020. Incoterms, we have a separate chapter also. We will look into that more details about this, but only thing is, only you keep in mind that the Incoterm impacts the risk transfer insurance timing of the post-shipment finance. Okay, these terms are determining who is to bear what type of cost. Okay, who is responsible for the certain events that is happening in the life cycle of exports. Then banks and exporter must comply with the global AML and KYC standard during the financing. Regulatory development. What is regulatory development has happened? This is a digital integration. EDPMS, ICEGATE, DGFT and RBI systems are now fully integrated with the commercial bank systems. This is reducing the delay and improving the transparency. Number two, EBRC and e-shipping bill matching. Exporters are now receiving quicker clearance for the post-shipment credit due to automated matching of EBRC and e-shipping bill data. Increase the scrutiny of the overdue bills. Increase the scrutiny of overdue bills. RBI mandates banks to block or flag the exporters with consistently delayed realization. The realization of proceeds. And FinTech guidelines state that RBI has released compliance norm for digital NBFC platform offering the export receivable and discounting.